Thank you, Professor. How are you today?
Oh, my pleasure, John. I'm doing fine. Thanks.
So do you think that the president should not have been able to pardon Joe Arpaio?
I don't think he was able to pardon Joe Arpaio. I think it was a lawless act. This particular issue has never arisen before. I have been writing about constitutional law for 44 years. I had never even thought of this issue because no president has ever weaponized the pardon power the way President Trump has here. We have to understand that the Bill of Rights, which are the first 10 amendments to the Constitution, amend. They limit what's in the body of the Constitution. They are the protection of our individual rights. They are the only thing that protects us against tyranny by those in political power. And the only way they can be enforced is through the courts. The courts are the mechanism by which the Bill of Rights protects us. And the weapon that the courts use is the injunction.
Right.
An injunction is an order which tells someone stop doing that or else. And the or else is a criminal punishment for contempt. And that comes in the form of a fine or imprisonment or some combination of the two. What the president's actually done here is immunize government officers from punishment for violating or ignoring a court injunction designed to protect our individual rights. If the court's power to issue those injunctions is undermined in this way, there's nothing left. There's nothing left of the Bill of Rights. It becomes a meaningless shell. Nobody has really seen it that way. Everybody has seen this as, well, the pardon power is very broad. And yes, on the face of Article 2 of the Constitution, the pardon power is very broad. But anything in the body of the Constitution that is inconsistent with something in the amendments is unambiguously superseded by the amendment. And the Bill of Rights and the Fifth Amendment Due Process Clause in particular appears in one of the amendments, and the president has used the pardon power to circumvent that constitutional protection.
I think a lot of us are wondering if the power of the pardon is such a good idea anyway. When President Clinton pardoned Rich, I think a lot of people thought that just smacked of cronyism and was an inappropriate use of it, but what are you going to do? When Barack Obama, you know, and they all do it on the way out the door. And it usually seems to be well-heeled, famous people, and money is somehow involved. And it doesn't seem like it's, I don't know, such a swell idea the way it's executed most of the time anyway.
What the framers were doing was starting from the premise that they trusted nobody. And they were trying to juggle all sorts of checks and balances so that everybody could check everybody else. And what they tried to do in the pardon power was give the president some sort of safety valve in case there was an injustice by the judicial system. The president could have the last say of a political safety net, a political fallback.
Yeah.
It sometimes hasn't worked out very well, but you can't blame them for trying.
Well, do you agree with this, though, that if we don't like what a president is doing, or who he's pardoning, we need to allow him the right to do that. We should not turn every decision into a political football. You know, the president has the power that the president has, and we shouldn't have this argument every single time. Do you agree with that?
Well, what I'm trying to do is prevent it from being a political football, make it a constitutional directive. We live in a democracy, but we also live in a constitutional democracy. A lot of decisions are made by those elected who are accountable and representative of the public. But the Constitution is a limit on those powers.
I get that. But my question to you is, because are we having a conversation because he did something we don't like, or are we having this conversation because we think he actually didn't have the right to do what he did?
Well, that's a great question. I think we should recognize this shouldn't be viewed as a right-left liberal conservative thing. Heaven knows I've taken constitutional positions that are very unpopular with the left. This should transcend the debate between left and right. It shouldn't matter who this president is. I mean, you think right now the liberals are wrapping themselves in states' rights to protect themselves against the Trump administration. Yet in past years, it's been the liberals who've been critical of states' rights. So you can't think of it on a narrow political mm-hmm. level. You have to think of it as a matter of broader constitutional structure.
Well, as a
this isn't whether it's a good or bad pardon. This is a pardon that takes away the power of the courts to protect our rights.
Yeah. Well, as a political football, though, here's what's happening, right? He's pardoning Arpaio as a signal to anybody who may be called to testify against him in the Russian investigation. And he's saying that if in defense of me to the investigators, you lie or somehow break the law, don't worry, I will pardon you. So if you'll go to bat for me, I'll go to bat for you. Do you see that this is a signal along those lines? Anything to that?
You know, that would be beyond my expertise.
Oh, that's within my expertise, Professor. That's exactly what's happening here.
Yeah, that's certainly possible. But under my theory, those pardons, while very controversial, would be perfectly constitutionally valid. That would be for the political process.
Think about
because
that.
That's not being used to take away the courts as a protector of individual rights. That's my most serious concern.
And your concern, although I'm interested in the conversation I just started there, maybe I won't have that with you right now, but I think Donald Trump is saying to anybody who might be asked to testify against him, don't worry, I will use the pardon power, not on my way out the door, but right now, and if you do something that is patently wrong, that's okay, I will protect you. It's still asking, say, a Jared Kushner to do something remarkable, and that is lie to investigators to protect your father-in-law or your boss if it's about, say, Bannon or somebody like that, or ex-boss. But you could at least see the mechanism would be in place. He could do that, right? He could do that, correct?
Yes, he could, and it's a sad situation that we've gotten to the point where we're even thinking about that as a possibility.
But to be clear, your point isn't that. If I understand, then, we have the Constitution that protects our rights, that defines our rights. The courts are there to exercise that, to make sure that we are protected. And when they told Sheriff Arpaio, you can't do that anymore, and he does it anyway, he's in violation of the law. He may have to go to jail for 6 months. The president steps in and says, I'm going to, even before he is sentenced, pardon him. And the upshot of that is what again then? How is that a constitutional issue?
The message I see being sent is not necessarily to the Russian case witnesses. It's to other sheriffs. It's to Sheriff Clark in Milwaukee. Do anything you want. And you can ignore any restraining orders by federal courts because I'm just going to pardon you. Arrest anybody you want. Intimidate anybody you want. And don't worry about what the courts are going to do to you. That's the message I'm concerned about.
Yeah. Do you have another minute, Professor?
Sure.
We'll pause here. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or observation, too. But Arpaio, the president said at that Phoenix rally, he'll be okay. He'll be okay. A lot of us thought what he meant by that is, let's wait and see what the sentencing is. If he's not sentenced to a long sentence or sentenced to go to jail at all, then a pardon isn't even necessary, or at least not that necessary. But the president preemptively struck. Let's take a call or two then for you. Let's start with Larry. Larry, this is John. You're on the air. What's your question?
My comment is that the president's power is analogous to the power of a jury to nullify a conviction of a criminal, even though he's obviously obviously guilty. The juries can set somebody free if they feel that the law is being improperly applied, or if they need. They don't even like the law. So it's built into the system.
So do you think, what's your take then, Larry, on the president?
I think the president should have it, just like juries have it.
I'm asking you about this particular exercise of it.
I'm ambiguous on this one, but I guess I go with the president on it.
Yeah, okay. Professor, any comment on that?
Juries aren't exactly the same thing as the president. The juries are a check by the people on the process. The president is the one with all the power. I think we need to be much more careful with the one that has all the power than just the common person coming to mm-hmm. give their views.
What about Melissa? You're on WGN. Melissa, what can we do for you?
Good afternoon. I wanted to ask the professor, it's my understanding that if they accept a pardon, that they're no longer allowed to invoke their Fifth Amendment rights.
Right.
And they still have to testify. And so as far as it goes to Russia and things like that, for the people who are related to that inquiry, the information still comes out. They just don't set them in jail for it.
Yeah.
Right?
Do you have a comment about that, Professor?
Well, if the pardon's granted, they have no Fifth Amendment rights on that particular crime because there's nothing to incriminate them. That's certainly true.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's a double-edged sword in that case then, isn't it?
That they couldn't hide information that they might be able to hide otherwise.
Right, the president pardons them, but then if they are called to testify, they can't invoke the Fifth. If they're found to be lying, then presumably they could still be jailed for that, right?
Right, that would be a separate crime, perjury or lying to government officers.
Okay, and David said the president... Well, let's let David ask his question, then we'll let you go. David, you're on WGN. What did you want to say?
Hi, John. How you doing?
Good. What's your thought?
Well, number one, again, as your guest said, it's remarkable we're even talking about this. But in this particular... You know, there's a kind of civility also implied into all of our rights. And the fact that our founding fathers didn't... Or that there's broad... that he has broad rights here, there's something implied about his being able to do so with a kind of collective common sense and good mental health and all of that stuff that, you know, when there's something assumed about what we all agree upon. And, you know, this election is exceptional in that way. This person doesn't believe in those things.
Hold on. Let's let him respond to that.
That's a very insightful point. There is something called the fiduciary notion of our government that the framers sort of implicitly put in there, that government officers recognize they're in a special fiduciary relationship with the public. The problem is we have to set up our system for those cases that are the worst case scenario where the president or those in power ignore that. And that's where the Bill of Rights and the courts come into play.
You have students waiting for your expertise. Martin Reddish, professor of law at Northwestern. Read his piece in the New York Times. A pardon for Arpaio would put Trump in uncharted territory. I'll call you again, Martin. Thanks for your time.
Thank you so much, John. Good talking to you.
Likewise. He's got to run off now and teach some kids over at Northwestern.